Well, we're going to read together now from God's Word as we find it in the prophecy of Ezekiel and chapter 34. Ezekiel chapter 34. We read from this chapter a couple of weeks ago. It's a chapter that speaks about the Lord as the shepherd of his people in contrast to the weak and wicked shepherds of Israel. We read before from verses 11 to 16. We're going to read this morning from verses 1 to 10. Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 1 to 10. Let us hear God's word. The word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, even to the shepherds, thus says the Lord God, Ah, shepherds of Israel who have been feeding yourselves, should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with the wool, you slaughter the fat ones, but you do not feed the sheep. The weak you have not strengthened, the sick you have not healed, the injured you have not bound up, the strayed you have not brought back, the lost you have not sought, and with force and harshness you have ruled them. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the wild beasts. My sheep were scattered, they wandered over all the mountains and on every high hill. My sheep were scattered over all the face of the earth, with none to search or seek for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, declares the Lord God, surely because my sheep have become a prey, and my sheep have become food for all the wild beasts, since there was no shepherd, and because my shepherds have not searched for my sheep, but the shepherds have fed themselves and have not fed my sheep. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, Behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my sheep at their hand and put a stop to their feeding the sheep. No longer shall the shepherds feed themselves. I will rescue my sheep from their mouths, that they may not be food for them. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Let us again read from God's word, this time from Psalm 23. Psalm 23, we've been working our way through this wonderful psalm in our drive-in services, and we're going to be thinking about it again this morning, particularly verses 3 and 4. But let's read together once again the whole psalm, Psalm 23, a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Well, let us again join our hearts together in prayer. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we have praised you because you are the great King and great God of all the universe. We praise you now because we are the people of your pasture, the sheep of your hand. And we come to you, our shepherd, this morning, O God, and we pray for each person gathered here and for those who are not able to meet with us this morning, who are in their homes. We pray, Lord God, very especially for those who are vulnerable today, for those who are physically vulnerable, and particularly those who are physically vulnerable to this coronavirus. We pray for the elderly. We pray for those with underlying health issues. But we pray too, O God, for those who are vulnerable in other ways, those who are vulnerable to depression and anxiety and fear and temptation and loneliness. And we pray that you will be close to them and that you will minister to them by your word this day. We pray, Heavenly Father, for the United States of America today, divided again so violently along the fault line of skin color. We pray for the family of George Floyd, and we ask for justice for those responsible for his cruel death. We pray for the churches in the United States, especially as they bear witness to the truth of the gospel, where alone is reconciliation between man and man to be found. We pray for them as they bear witness to the fact that there is one race and that every human being is created in the image of God and that has dignity regardless of colour. Help us, we pray, here in our church, in our context, to demonstrate to the world that the church is a place of unity, a place where there is no discrimination or segregation or second-class people. Heavenly Father, we pray for this ongoing COVID crisis. We pray that you will give wisdom to the government in Westminster and to the government in Stormont and the government in Dublin and Scotland and Wales. We pray that each government would know how best to handle this crisis in their own situation. We pray that you would grant our leaders not only wisdom but also humility to be able to admit and learn from their mistakes. We pray that you would have mercy upon us as a nation and that you would turn people to yourself as you expose through this pandemic their frailty, their mortality, their weakness and their vulnerability. Heavenly Father, we bring these concerns to you, thankful that you are our shepherd, that we belong to you, that you care for us, and that you do lead us in ways that are best. Help us, we pray, to follow in your strength, for we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, please turn back with me now in God's word to that 23rd Psalm that we read together, Psalm 23, and in particular to verses 3 and 4. Psalm 23, verses 3 and 4. We're thinking in this psalm about how the Lord God of heaven is our shepherd. And because the Lord is our shepherd, then it follows, as verse 1 tells us, that we will have no want. And the rest of the psalm really is just an expansion on that and an elaboration of that. Last week, we saw that we have no want because of our shepherd's provision for all of our needs. He gives us food and water and rest and health. And this morning, we want to think about our shepherd's guidance. We have no want because our shepherd guides us. And I'm sure that we are all painfully aware of how much we need guidance. That is certainly true of sheep. If I was in any doubt about this before, I am very clear on it this morning. Sheep do not know what's best for them. They get lost easily. They panic. They desperately need direction. And I can speak with even greater authority than I might have done last Lord's Day, because as Aaron and I were driving down the Cullyburn Road yesterday in our car, we came across a sheep on the road. And this sheep had obviously got out of its field and didn't know how to get back in again. And it was desperately, frantically scrabbling at the fence, trying to make a hole or to find a hole by which it could get through. But as soon as our car came along, it panicked and it darted out in front of the car. And thankfully, Erin's reflexes, all of those driving lessons have paid off, and she stopped the car in plenty of time and in a well-controlled fashion. But the sheep was just running everywhere. It was zigzagging all over the road. It was crossing the road. It was back across the road again. It was herring off down the road, and then it would stop, and then it would come running towards us again as if it was going to charge the car. And then it would get into the side and we would try to creep past, and then just at the last minute the sheep would run out in front of the car again. And eventually, thankfully, it ran up the lane of a farm. Hopefully someone at the other end of the lane would know what to do with that little lost sheep. Sheep are foolish creatures. They panic. They need a shepherd. They need direction. And it's the shepherd's job to provide that direction and to bring the sheep to its destination. That's part of the point of the picture of the sheep here. And of course, that is just reminding us that that is true of us as human beings. That's the point of the picture. It's not really about sheep at the end of the day. It's about us. We need direction. We may think we know the way to go, but we don't know the way to go. This world that we live in is a bewildering maze of roads that lead in every conceivable direction. And that is more true today than it ever has been before in human history. It is certainly not true that anybody can be anything they want to be. That lie is often peddled, isn't it? You can be whatever you want to be. You can do whatever you want to do. Well, that's not true. But there are certainly many, many more options open to people today than ever before. And that's the line that our young people are being fed, isn't it? You must choose your own path. Don't let anyone else choose it for you. And it doesn't matter what that path might be. It doesn't matter what road you choose, as long as it's your path. You've got to be true to yourself. You have to do what fulfills you. That's the most important thing, that you find what makes you happy and you follow that path. Whether it's your career or your leisure pursuits or your sexuality or your gender, you choose your own path. You go your own way, whatever way you want to go. But actually, that isn't what matters. That is not the way to happiness and fulfillment. That way, following your own path, actually will lead you to misery and emptiness and heartache. And the psalmist tells us here in Psalm 23 that what matters is not choosing and following our own path, but following the path that the Lord, our shepherd, leads us on. I want to think about two of those paths from these verses with you. First of all, verse 3 tells us about right paths. Right paths. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Paths of righteousness. Now, what does that mean? What does it mean that the Lord leads us in paths of righteousness? Well, as far as the sheep picture goes, the paths of righteousness are simply the right paths. The right paths for the sheep. The paths that will take the sheep to their destination. The paths that will lead to green pastures and still quiet waters. The shepherd doesn't lead his sheep aimlessly wandering around and unsure of the direction. The shepherd doesn't say, well, I think I'll try this way and we'll see where it leads. No, the shepherd knows the right paths for the sheep. He knows exactly what he's doing. He always chooses wisely the right paths. And the sheep trust him and the sheep follow him. Even though sometimes that path leads through the valley of the shadow of death, it is still always the right path. The shepherd knows the right path and leads the sheep in the right path. So that's what it means for the sheep. What does it mean for us, the Lord's flock? Well, for us, the right paths, the paths of righteousness, are the ways of the Lord. Walking in paths of righteousness means walking in God's precepts and his commands. Wherever he leads us, whatever he tells us to do, that is right. He knows the best way for his creatures to live. He knows the way that will lead to blessing in this world. And when we stray from his paths, from his commands, from his precepts, we only hurt ourselves. And you know that, don't you, from your own bitter experience. When you stray from the Lord's commands, when you go off the paths of righteousness, sin doesn't bring the satisfaction that it promised. Yes, the grass looks greener when it's out of bounds, but it isn't really greener. It isn't really more satisfying. We need to walk in the right paths, the ways that the Lord tells us to walk. And that's important to remember, because we often think that we know the paths that are right. And it may not always seem to us like the Lord's paths are the best way. We might not want to go down the path that the Lord is leading us. And at times like that, at times when we're tempted not to follow the Lord's path or to stray off the Lord's path, we need to remember that we are the sheep and that the Lord is the shepherd. And so when his word tells me to do something and I'm tempted to ignore it or to rebel against it, you need to say to yourself, hang on a minute, I'm a sheep. I don't know the best way. I'm a silly, foolish creature. I need the shepherd to lead me. I need to follow him. He knows the path that's right. It's his place to lead. It's my place to follow. And that's all there is to it. So when it comes, for example, to the Lord's day, and God, our shepherd, tells us, don't work on this day. This day is to be special. This is a day to rest from your work. This is a day to rest from your normal pursuits. This is a day to remember me and to worship me and to fellowship with God's people. This is my holy day. You don't go your own way this day. It's the right path. The Lord, our shepherd, knows what's best, and it's for our good. This is true when it comes to sexuality and sex. God says that this wonderful gift of sex that he has created is to be enjoyed between one man and one woman in a lifelong committed marriage covenant. That is the right path. There is no other right path, and it's for our good. And perhaps at times we might be tempted to think that it would be much better, much more enjoyable, that we would be much happier having many different sexual partners and no commitment whatsoever. We need to remember, I'm a sheep, and the Lord is the shepherd, and whatever he says, whatever way he is leading, that's the right path. And I'm only going to hurt myself, I'm only going to deprive myself by going down any other path. This is the way in which human sexuality is to be expressed. When God says that we're not to date or to marry non-Christians, when he tells us that we're not to get drunk, when he tells us that we're to give generously what we have, when he tells us that we are to forgive one another whatever grievance we may have against one another, those are the right paths. Those are the best paths. Those are the paths that will lead to satisfaction and joy and contentment, because they're chosen by the Lord, our shepherd. He's not randomly suggesting this or that, trying to work out by trial and error what is best. And he's not changing the path depending on the generation that we happen to be living in or the age that we are. No, whatever our shepherd tells us are the paths of righteousness. Those are the right paths. He's the shepherd, we're the sheep, we are to walk in the paths that he commands. It really is as simple as that. And just notice that we're told here that he does this. He leads us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. That's why he does it, ultimately. The shepherd's good name is at stake here. His reputation is linked. It is bound up with bringing us on the right paths. He leads us in the right ways that lead to heaven for his name's sake. He brings us to heaven by the right paths for his sake. Not for our sake, primarily, but for his sake. It's his glory, his name, his reputation that is on the line here. And so if Jesus, this is tremendously encouraging, it means that if Jesus were to fail to bring any one of his people to heaven, it would mean that he had failed in his mission. He says in John 17, verse 12, I have guarded them, and not one of them has been lost except the son of destruction, that the scripture might be fulfilled. If the Lord doesn't bring every last one of his sheep to heaven, then he would lose more than we would. That's a tremendous comfort to us, isn't it, as we think about our salvation. We cannot not make it, because he is leading us to heaven. He's leading us on those right paths for his name's sake. His glory is on the line. So he leads us in right paths. But then the other thing that we see here in verse 4 is that he leads us on frightening paths. The Lord our shepherd leads us on frightening paths. Philip Keller, in his book, A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23, I mentioned it last Sabbath morning. This was a man who was a shepherd in the Middle East for 9 years. And he explains the background here behind verse 4. Let's just read verse 4 once again. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. A more literal translation of verse 4 is, and it's in the margin of the ESV, even though I walk through the valley of the darkest shadow, the deepest, darkest shadow. What is this dark valley? Well, Philip Keller explains that the background here is the journey that the shepherd made with his flock every year from the lowland pastures, where the sheep were in the winter time, through the valleys up to the higher pasture ground. And these valleys through which they made that journey were the dry riverbeds at the bottom of deep canyons, narrow, deep canyons. And there wasn't very much light at the bottom of those canyons. Wild animals would have been lurking in the shadows. It's a little bit like a dark alley in a big city, a forbidding place, a dangerous place, full of hidden fears, a scary place. There was the danger in walking through these dark valleys of a flash flood sweeping down through the valley floor and washing the sheep away to their death. And yet, this path through the valley is the path that leads to green pastures and still waters. That's so important to understand. This path through the valley of the dark shadow, the valley of the shadow of death, that path is still the right path for the sheep. Yes, it's frightening. Yes, it's dangerous, but it's still the right path, just as much as all the other paths that the shepherd chooses. The shepherd hasn't made a mistake. He hasn't taken a wrong turn. And the sheep haven't wandered into this dark valley by mistake. They're still following the shepherd. And it might seem as though the shepherd has lost his mind to take the sheep into such a frightening and dangerous place, but he knows that it has to happen. He knows that this is the only way that will take them to the green pastures. He knows that there is great blessing on the other side of this dark valley. It's the right path. But the right path isn't always easy or pleasant. Some years ago, I remember reading a book called The Long Walk. The Long Walk. And it is based apparently on a true story. In fact, it is written as autobiography. And if ever there was an understated title for a book, it's this one, The Long Walk. It's all about a Polish soldier called Sławomir Rawitz and six other men who escaped from the Siberian Gulag in 1941. They were being held prisoner there by the Soviet Union. And in 1941, they escaped. And they escaped on foot. They walked out of that Siberian Gulag, and they kept walking. And they walked for 4,000 miles. They walked in unimaginably difficult terrain. They walked through the snow and the ice of Siberia at the beginning, and then they crossed the Gobi Desert, and they endured the heat of that awful place. Then they crossed the Himalayas, and they walked down into British India. It's a fascinating story. And if you've never read it, it's also been made into a film and it's well worth reading. It's an unimaginably hard path to walk. And yet, it was the right path. And it led to freedom and life for those prisoners. And that's the picture here. The shepherd leads his sheep through the dark valley. That difficult path, that frightening path, but it's the right path, And the sheep trust the shepherd and they follow. And they're not frightened because he's there. He's with them. It's not that he's pointing them into the valley and saying, that's where you have to go, all the best, I'll be thinking about you. No, he goes with them. He leads them through that dark valley. He's there every step of the way to guide them. He has his rod and his staff as he walks with them. And the sight of those two things gave comfort to the sheep. The rod of a shepherd was a club that was carried on his belt. It was a weapon, and it was used to defend the sheep against wild animals. He has his rod to protect them. And then he has his staff, and that was the long crook that he carried in his hands. And it wasn't a weapon, it was a tool to discipline the sheep, to keep order in the flock as they walked along the right paths. It was used, the hook at the end was used to pick the sheep up out of danger. He was with the sheep with his rod and his staff. And we need to remember that when the Lord leads us into dark valleys, when he leads us into a period of prolonged and painful illness, when he brings us into the dark valley of bereavement, when he brings us into the dark valley of persecution or family trouble or disappointment. Some of you know very well what it's like to walk through the dark valley of depression and stress and anxiety. Don't stop following him in the dark valley. You need to keep close to him all the more in the dark valley. And maybe he's calling you to go through a dark valley at the moment. He's calling you to do something that is difficult and frightening and costly. And your job as a sheep is to follow the shepherd through that valley. Maybe he's calling you to give up a relationship that is wrong, to take a stand on something that you know is going to be unpopular through some very difficult and dark valleys. Perhaps even literally, he's leading us to the valley of our own death. And if that's the case, even if that's the case, don't lose heart. Look again at some of the encouragements that there are as we go through the dark valley, the valley of the shadow. For one thing, it's the right path, as we've seen already, because it leads ultimately to pasture, to rich green pasture. The dark valley is not the end of the line for the sheep. It's just a doorway. It's just a means to getting to the end. It leads to higher, greener pastures. And isn't it interesting that David says, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. If you're following the shepherd, then you will walk through and you will come out the other side into light and into life and into freedom and into happiness. And that's true, isn't it, of our times of affliction in the Christian life. The Lord leads us through those dark valleys. He brings us out the other side, sooner or later. It might be after a long time, but eventually, he brings us through the dark valley. And if we've followed him closely through that dark valley, our faith is stronger, and our love for him is stronger than it was before. And that is especially, ultimately true, isn't it, of death itself. The darkest valley of all for a human being. But the Christian comes out the other side. Death is just a doorway to a far better, far richer, far greater, far more glorious life as we are clothed with imperishability, incorruptibility, and power and strength. It's the right path because it leads to something wonderful. Another encouragement is that David calls it the valley of the shadow of death. It's the shadow of death. It's only a shadow. The substance of death has been removed. We don't need to be afraid of a shadow. As Spurgeon put it, there is no substantial evil in it. The shadow of the serpent will not sting, nor the shadow of a sword kill. And best of all, the believer has nothing to fear in the dark valleys because the Lord is with him. He's promised that he's never going to leave or forsake his people. And in faith in the dark valley, we see our shepherd with us, confidently leading us as he goes through the darkness with us. We're not on our own. We're accompanied every step of the way by the one who is the Lord God, who holds the depth of the earth and the heights of the mountain in his hand. And in our afflictions, we're often conscious in a special way, aren't we, of the Lord's presence. Particularly as we draw near to death, how often we see that in believers at the end of their life. The Lord seems to draw very close to his people as he guides them through the darkest part of the journey. And maybe some of you are very afraid of dying. You're anxious about death, about the timing of it and the circumstances of it and the manner of it and whether it will be painful or not. And of course, none of us can predict any of those things, but what we do know is that when we get there, our shepherd will still be with us, that he's not going to leave us at the hardest and most difficult part of the journey. David seems to be conscious of that as he changes the pronoun here from he to you in verse 4. Up to now, he's talked about the Lord, the shepherd, in the third person. He leads me in paths of righteousness. But now, he says in verse 4, you are with me. Your rod and staff, they comfort me. It's as if the Lord is right in front of his eyes. He's close enough to speak to him. And he says, because you are with me, I won't fear evil. It's not that there is no evil, but we don't need to fear that evil. The right paths and the frightening paths, the Lord, our shepherd, leads us in both of these ways. Remember again what we saw on the very first day. It's the Lord who is our shepherd. Yahweh, the sovereign, awesome God of heaven, infinite in his power and in his wisdom and in his love. He knows what he's doing. We need to remember that. Let's remember that this week as we are confronted by all kinds of paths that are open to us and that we could follow. All kinds of shepherds, bad shepherds, the kind of shepherds Ezekiel mentioned in Ezekiel 34, all kinds of shepherds who want to lead us away from the Lord. Let's pray that the Lord will help us, his flock, to follow him in the right paths this week, even if that means for some of us walking through the valley of the deepest, darkest shadows. We can trust him. In right ways, he leads me. Amen. Well, let us bow our heads in prayer. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, again, we rejoice that you are our shepherd. You, the Lord of heaven and earth, the one who created this vast universe, who controls and sustains it, the one to whom all knowledge and wisdom belongs, the one to whom all power belongs, the self-existent I am, the one from everlasting to everlasting. You, the Lord, You are our shepherd, the one who guides us, the one who tells us where we should go, how we should live, who leads us and who walks with us and protects us even in the valley of the shadow of death itself. Heavenly Father, how thankful we are that you are our shepherd. Help us to remember, Lord, that we are your sheep and that it is our place to follow you humbly and obediently. Forgive us again, Lord, for the ways in this past week that we have strayed from your paths into wrong paths of unrighteousness. Forgive us for when you have been leading us through the dark valley of the shadow of death, and we have shrunk back and we have tried to find an easier way. Help us to trust you, that you, our shepherd, know the best way. Help us to follow you, however difficult it may be. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.